certainly we were shocked when we looked at the data that over the past 15 years, we've seen dramatic falls in the deaths of younger children, but not so much in adolescents. 1.2 million adolescents die every year. Almost all of those deaths are potentially preventable. And that is certainly a major headline of our report. We're particularly concerned about road traffic injuries, about continuing deaths from infections that are very preventable and treatable, like pneumonia, rising incidence of suicide. And amongst girls, we remain very concerned about the high numbers, relatively speaking, of children or young adolescents who are becoming pregnant and suffering complications of pregnancy and leading to still thousands of deaths.
Can we say that this is a problem that mainly affects lower and middle income countries?
Not at all. In fact, if you look at the figures for deaths overall, it is true that for infections, and particularly for younger adolescents, infections like pneumonia, diarrhea, meningitis, and of course HIV/AIDS, is more likely to kill you in many of the low and middle income countries. But when you're talking about road traffic accidents, interpersonal violence, self-harm and suicide, you've got many causes that are of relevance not only to middle-income and emerging economies, but also to high-income settings. But our report goes beyond death. What we're saying is that we're missing out here on a huge opportunity to tackle many of not just adolescent health problems, but the root causes of most of the diseases we see in adult life. So if you think about heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, and cancer, many of the risk behaviors that start in adolescence could be prevented, and there could be an enormous economic dividend for governments if they invested in this time period.
So what exactly can you do? I mean, obviously, we know that more money needs to be spent, but how are you going about tackling this with national governments?
Well, it's still early days. A lot of governments are interested, but I think we do have to have a much greater political commitment. I think it involves all of us. We've all been adolescents once. We know it's a tricky period of one's life. There are huge numbers of things that we can do outside the health sector to encourage positive development. I mean, every ministry in a government is a health ministry in a sense, and we need schools that are promoting health more. We need a much bigger focus on hygiene and nutrition. A lot of stuff we can do with social media, with parenting interventions, and really important, getting adolescents and teenagers involved. On the broader front, I mean, road traffic injuries, many countries are not doing the most basic things on seatbelts, on wearing helmets, on graduated driver licensing, on looking at drinking and driving, and traffic calming, of course, to ensure that speed limits are maintained. And huge numbers are dying. I mean, this is an epidemic, actually. Take India, for example, which is a big country, but they have almost 100,000 road traffic deaths every year.
These things seem like common sense, don't they? But at least you've got them written down in your AHA guidance to support country implementation, which is great. If people are listening and they want to go online, I guess they can find it. They just go into their favourite search engine and type in AHA, AHA! And they will be able to find all sorts of useful information and guidance on how to help reduce this terrible epidemic, as you say, of adolescent deaths.
Absolutely. There's a great resource there. Anyone's welcome to hit the WHO website. It's on other websites as well. They can download the full report and the summary. We know that a lot of these issues crop up early in adolescence, and if we can do more to provide support to young people, we will have huge benefits to the economy and to prevent illness.